talked about life in other parts of the universe. There are 18,000 other places where human life has developed. But there's no communication. It's too far. The distances are too far. And that the real journey is in inner space. And this beautiful chart of the four journeys was brought out. And Francis Brabazon read Baba's explanation of it that was dictated previously. And then Baba's sense of humor, he says to Francis, "Do you understand?" No. Francis says, "No." And then Baba says, "Neither do I." Or God speaks. He told us to read God Speaks 10 times. But then he said, it's only for the intellectual convulsion of the future. For you, the only thing that matters is love. Which was echoing the first thing in a private interview I had with Father back in 52, was inscribe this on your heart. Only God is real, and the only thing that matters is love for God. And you know, when Baba, you hear the voice, I think this is Mani's voice. What he said goes right into your soul. I mean, it's not like hearing something intellectual. It's written right there. You know, that's real teaching. That's the teaching of the song. It doesn't go through your brain. So, Baba always emphasized love. You know that. You've all read Baba. But the great thing is that he gives the gift of love. And one of my favorite stories is the Narina story. She was part of the jet set of her day, you know, in Europe, famous beauty and all that. She was always bringing all sorts of famous people to meet Baba. So they were in Rome, and Professor so-and-so must meet Baba. He was a professor of theology and philosophy and all that stuff. So he comes in, I just picked him because my father did the same thing. Immediately talking to Baba and telling him all about theology and God and, you know, this and that. Just giving his whole crap, you know. Baba listens to something. Suddenly he picks up his African foot, flings it into the corner of the room. And with that blow, this man suddenly got this flood of love. Baba gave him a real experience of love. He quit talking, you know, his tears rolled out. And he went out, just bowed to Baba and said, sobbing. He said, "Now I know what love of God means." You know, Baba just cut off all that intellectual, you know, and just gave. But what a blessing that he gave. I mean, you know, that did give him this experience. Just a classic. You know. Because Baba says intellect is the lowest form of knowledge, which is very comforting if you don't have a good intellect. Anyway, so those are the four times I spent with Baba, 52, 56, 58, and 62. And that last morning in 62, musicians came to sing, you know, again, some other special group. And Baba always explained these songs. He said, "Now this was a very, very old song. I don't know whether it was the song of St. Pierre or not, or whether it was just a classic in Musa. But they sing when the bride leaves the house of her family to go with her new husband. It's sort of half sad and half joy, you know, you're leaving the loved ones which you're going to. And most exquisite music, and the singer is incredible. We all start crying again because somehow we all knew we were not going to see Baba. So I always think of this song, kind of, you know, how music touches your heart and identifies with the moment. And that was, we went outside with Baba. There's movies of that too. You see Baba with us all, you know, take pictures of him. That was our last glimpse of Baba. Except a few people who stayed much later on another plane or something. Baba did come to that wonderful tree by the Pune River. They did get a chance to see Baba again just to say goodbye. And there's a little footage of that. But that's the last time we physically saw Baba. And then, of course, you all know we dropped the body. And we had planned, at Baba's request, we were all going to go to India again for the last darshan. kept saying, I'll give my daughter lying down, you know, all the things we didn't understand. And of course, we went on that fashion just in April, May, and June 69. But that again was just like Baba was there, but totally in the spirit, you know, like the Bible says, I am in the spirit of love and truth. It was a whole different experience of Baba, love. The body was not there, it was in the tomb. But so each visit to India now has been a really unique experience. Once with Baba there, and then the last darshan where the Easterners and Westerners met. Their mutual sorrow and the presence of Baba was so strong. And now you go, it's like you have an individual kind of trip relating to the Mandalay and bowing to Baba in the tomb. Just an amazing unfolding story of the afterlife. You know, your relationship to all these wonderful souls like you who love Baba, who may not have seen him in the body, but you feel Baba, that spirit that Baba is. He would often say, I'm not this body. I wear this body as a garment to visit you, you know. But that neat little dream that Monty had one time of, I don't remember, but anyway, she sees these little baby clothes on the line, your mother's little tiny garments. And she says, how can God get into this little tiny garment? It's like Baba putting on a baby coat. It's God. And they come be with us. It's sweet. I'm not describing it too well. So that's how amazing that God does come down as man. He's still with us. And traveled all around the world. I think he went around the world a few times. Visited Europe many times and America quite a few times. In the early 30s, fascinating trips. The first time the Avatar traveled, you know, the life of Jesus or Muhammad, it's just a very small area. You would have had to just incarnate right there to have a chance. But this time, Baba came, he'd say, your love has called me to the West. Or he also said, I'll go all around the world just to find one soul who loves God as he ought to be loved. He'd tell us that so many times that you know, oh, no, I'm not one for sure. I'm sure there was somebody who... Anyway, I've talked enough now. I'd really like to hear your story. Maybe you have questions or something.
I have a question about something you said. You mentioned that in America we have to flood for a long time. What does that mean exactly?
Well, Baba has described a little bit about what the work of the Avatar is. That he always suffers. There's a line there where he says, we suffer for our karma, our ignorance. The saints sometimes take on the sufferings of others. Masters suffer for humanity, but the Avatar suffers for the whole creation. So he has to have this suffering. I mean, it's constant with Baba. Baba would often sit there with us and he'd go like this. I am the Christ, undoubtedly, and I suffer constantly, but my infinite bliss upholds me in my suffering. So he's suffering all the time. It's just that we, you know, this physical thing that happens is just sort of a dramatization, really, in the gross body of what constant suffering he has on the inner plane.
It's so obvious that nobody ever realizes it, but that's all there is pain. So if you see any suffering around you or feel it, he's obviously experiencing
it. He does experience your suffering. In fact, that was explained to me by someone, I don't now remember who, or the Mandali, that, and Baba emphasized it too, the best thing you can do for him is to be happy, because your suffering then throws a burden on him. And that's why he always, when they traveled with him, and he would say, be cheerful, he always wanted you to be cheerful or up, or even if you don't feel that way, to look that way, because you lessen his burden. You see, but he has to always. You'll read in Kitty's book, you know, so many dramatic things in their life with him in India. And like the travels in the blue glass She really got it in the neck too, as you'd say colloquially. She and Ronna would be fighting over how the luggage was put or something, or the food. Bob would come and say, "Why do you always spoil everything?" You know.
Oh,
but they were really tough circumstances. So he wanted, you know, to overcome this. He always, the classic line is, "I don't like prune faces." Or actually, I thought that's what it was. They changed it. The original line I have in the original manuscript: "I don't like garlic faces." But it's that he does feel our suffering. That's the difference between the avatar. There's another place that's explained even more subtly that, like, we feel our suffering, and maybe by empathy we feel the suffering of our friends or people, but the Sadhguru, which is the perfect master, when he suffers, like he has, like Ramakrishna had cancer, so it's not like he's really man suffering. It's like a play acting out. It's hard to describe. But the avatar, actually, when he has a physical thing, a wound or whatever, he actually feels it like actually we would. You know, it's sort of a difference between the avatar. One of those subtle metaphysical things. Like Christ on the cross, his physical suffering is exactly like someone who would be also on the cross. You know, whereas a Sadhguru kind of. So when Baba was in the accident and the blood and all that, he's just like one of us in an accident. But the meaning of it is, in a sense, like the Christian one of atonement, it must wipe out a certain amount of our, whatever word you like to use, debts, or, you know, it transforms mankind to go forward by straightening out some of the mess of our karma, basically. And of the whole universe, not just human karma, but all the other, you know, it's a very complicated universe, really. The avatar always has to do something like this. I don't know if that answers, but there's some of the hints about it. Anybody else?
Yeah. He has you leave in the middle of the play or movie, and I think I've heard of that happened before, where he'll, at a real crucial point, he would get up and say, "Okay, let's leave." And do you know of how he worked through movies?
Well, like when he told me, "Phyllis, concentrate on the movie. Your conscious focus then is very much into the play or whatever." And so my unconscious bundle of Sanskara is probably working on the whole crowd that way. That's the reason he likes crowds and likes theater. He used to go to cricket matches and all that. Because everyone's absorbed, you see, in the show, and he could work on your mass.
Is it kind of like a meditation then? Like an intrusion on a meditation?
What?
Was the cricket, the focus of cricket or whatever, the theater or whatever, was it like a meditation?
Well, for you, it's a show. You're absorbed.
Well, I know, but for me, but from his perspective, it'd be like we were all sort of in a trance, and it would make it easy for.
Well, it's easy for him to reach into the part of us that is not blocked then by your intellect. You're so pinpointed on this outward thing that's going on that he can work to the energies, I suppose you'd call it. If you, I don't like to call it subconscious, I'm not a Freudian, but, you know, just those Sanskaras there available to him. And he always left the theater. We were in several theaters with him. He always left in the middle. Left in the middle of the ice show. And we went to see a play in 52, The Most Happy Fellow, which I thought was a cute title for him. He doesn't seem to be interested in the play. He's sitting there and, yeah. He did. He went to see the Ten Commandments, got up in the middle of it. He did say some remarks about Moses that he was on the sixth plane, but he couldn't quite make it to the seventh. You go back and you read the Bible, and it says, you know, Moses goes up the hill, I guess the second time, and he's, the light of God is so intense, comes stumbling down the mountain, which is sort of symbolic of it. The light, the gulf between the sixth and the seventh or so. He did say that Moses was on the sixth plane, which is sort of interesting. Mm-hmm. Like And then he, someone, I don't know who, wrote to us, the producer Griffiths, you know, that Moses, that Mayor Bob of the Avatar liked this movie. And he wrote a nice letter. I have that in my office. He was happy, by the way. Anybody else get?
Did your cousin Keith become a follower?
No, no. He did for a while go to meetings in Schenectady, Darwin's meetings. Was you know, open and interested. And then, oh, the interesting thing about him, one night, Bob says to him, what do you want to be? You know, Keith says, I don't know. And then Bob says, a doctor. And now, of course, he's a doctor. He's a very good doctor. What?
Excuse me, I was going to ask about the Indian agent that he's the training for.
Oh, yes.
It's always intriguing.
Yes, me too. I met the woman, Ruana Bogusov, who was on the train with Baba. The train stops in Albuquerque. Baba gets off, grabs her wrist, and pulls her along. They walk very fast up the street, and then they come to this door or something. And two Indians, one tall, one short, she described. And the short one had this red headband, which I think would make him a Hopi, I'm not too sure. But then they stare at each other. They looked very deep into each other's eyes, very intensely, she said. And then suddenly Baba takes her wrist again, and they go back to the train, and the train starts moving. Baba says, I was bored. That was my agent for America. I think he said 6 million. And I said, well, what were you thinking of? She said, I was thinking we'd miss the train. But she was the one that actually was with her. Yeah, so I don't know. We always wonder if, I'm sure that man has probably passed away by now. Maybe another man taking his place. But it's so interesting that the fellow that runs the show for America is well, the Hopis have a wonderful a spiritual tradition. And so do the Navajo. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anybody else?
I just have a question about Christian Bible lovers. Did Baba give them any assistance in their dilemma of accepting the Avatar?
I think Baba says, basically, it doesn't matter what you think I am, just love me and obey me. There were at Mandalay, including Erich and Dr. Dornall, who didn't know what Baba was or didn't even love him, but they obeyed him, and then the love would come. Dornall told that story. And then Kitty was raised, you know, very high Anglican church and all that. And her story that I heard was interesting. I don't know in the book yet whether she says this, but she loved Baba, accepted him as her master, and, you know, gave her life to Baba, went to India and all that. But meanwhile, Christ was over here, you know. And every Easter, she would beg Baba's permission to go to church, to Easter service. And then years had gone by. She'd been in India for years with Baba. And then it was Easter morning, and they were up in Quetta, and it was pouring rain, you know, and she starts, I think she was in the garden, or Baba's in the garden, she goes out to ask Baba if she can go to church on Easter, and suddenly she looks at Baba, and she realizes, you know, he is the Christ. What is this church? The scales kind of finally fell, the two images came together, you know. And actually her mother, when, you know, Baba came to her house in London and stayed there. And the mother was a very devout Christian. And she asked Baba, she said, what should she do? She praised Jesus and she showed this picture of Jesus. And Baba said, it's fine. It's the same. He says somewhere else, all prayers come to me.
As Christian.
Like if you were a Krishna lover in India, you know, you're praying to Krishna. That prayer, where does it go? It goes to the Avatar. It has to go to the Avatar. So what if you see Baba as Jesus and you love Jesus, you're loving Baba. It's just that Erich gives the oatmeal story. I'm not too good at telling the oatmeal story, but So he answers that question with the oatmeal story. Like, if you have a baby and you want to feed the baby the best food, you know, and you go in the store to buy oatmeal, and the shopkeeper said, well, we have these cans of oatmeal, you know, they've been here a long time, but over here is the brand new can, just came in. It's fresh, you see. What will you do as a mother? You'll buy the fresh oatmeal. The same thing with the advent of the avatar. Here is Krishna, Rama, Jesus, Muhammad, you know, they're the quote old cans of oatmeal, but there's Mayor Bhava with more intensity, I would say, a fresh dispensation, and actually more related to you because you're now in this era, in this vibration, or this culture, wherever we are in the world's evolution. And yeah, but not everybody's able to handle that, for sure. Baba says, you know, I'm the one that whose past is revered, whose present is ignored, and his future is awaited. You know, the groups all over the world waiting for the second coming, you know. It's already the 20th or 50 million coming, but we have quite a few in Los Angeles. Yeah, we have one man who's predicting that Christ will come this year in March, 1982, not far off. That's in Mazel Tov, you know, you kind of missed the boat. I remember watching Billy Graham. I was in this motel and it turned on the show of Billy Graham. And we had sent Billy Graham an invitation to come to see Baba. We sent invitations to all these spiritual leaders of the country. So he turned on the TV and he's going, Christ will come, are you ready? Are you repenting? And you know, this was 1970. Yeah. He turned it off. Okay, Billy. I missed the motor wheel. But not really. I'm sure, you know, eventually the avatar's message gets to everyone eventually, you know, through history. So if you have relatives that are Christian, that's fine. They love Baba, but they love him in the old form.
How do you deal with the bigotry that's just in here?
Well, how do you deal with any bigotry? It's only lack of knowledge. How vast God is. Can you really expect Mr. Average Man to understand the whole thing? I mean, you can't even understand God's speech. You're on you can't blame someone who's studying the Bible and who's said all the
time. Have such point blank statements.
Oh, yes.
The way the truth comes out of the Bible.
Yeah, but Bob explained some of those things. Like, what Christ said, none shall come to the Father but through me. That's a real esoteric saying, because nobody does come to God except through the avatar. Even the other perfect masters, if the avatar hadn't first started the whole link to God, you know, Bob explained that in Beams and God's
Speaking. You can't explain that to him.
No, but the truth is it's like I got into trouble one time. I was on a panel, this little panel, and the Buddhist priest was there, an American Buddhist priest. Each one was to give a little 10 minutes on their thing, and I talked about Baba and questions from the audience, and someone asked the Buddhist fellow, well, is Buddhism an atheist religion? And he said, yes, we don't have God as a religion. So then I, of course, I should have shut up at that point, but I said, but I'd like, may I say something that Mayor Bhava said about that? He said that he has explained that Buddha was just at the divine junction where there's neither God nor the creation. It's like the final dua, fina fauna, whatever. And when he was asked, is there God? He didn't answer. And when they asked again, then there's no God, he didn't answer. So classically, Buddhism then has been that there's no God. But Bob explained, no, because Buddha was just at that junction when he was asked, but he went on to the real God realization. You see that in the chart of the four journeys, all these junctions, you know. So I was explaining that, and this Buddhist priest got so mad. He said, I've never heard such a denominational put down. He lost his Buddhist calm. And I felt real fresh. I was going to say, is there such a thing as denominations and truth? But I didn't. But anyway, he came over and apologized afterwards. But you can't. I mean, they're trained, they're, if the theologians are training them, or their priest, or their parish, or, you know, their church class. So how can you blame them? It's, all that matters is love for God. That's what Baba said the first day. If they love God, so what? They've got all their theology screwed up. I don't like it either. I've given many a talk to these Jehovah people or Jesus people challenging you, you're following Satan and the false Messiah. Then get real heavy. I always say, well, who made your Satan? God, I guess, so God's more important than Satan. Or something.
You can always say, I believe in Jesus, but have a load in the laundry.
I always say I love Jesus. They come up to you and say, are you saved? I say, yeah. You love Jesus? Okay. But no, you don't explain.
Yeah, don't explain.
Don't explain that. Yes, brother, I do. Well, I do. Yeah.
I had some experiences recently with Christians. As far as like casting out demons, that seems to be popular with the Pentecostal.
It's going back to that charismatic
healing. Yeah, I was wondering, did Bob ever speak about that?
Well, when he first came in 52, he had dictated some messages, and one of them was on healing, because so many people are into healing. And he said, premature physical healing delays the real spiritual healing. Just one phrase, like, you know, in other words, more or less, that suffering sometimes is working out karma. In fact, in 62, we were greeted the morning, first morning with Amishi, don't worry if you get sick here, you know, because sickness is the easiest way to work out karma. So we all thought, that is true. So, Baba, also in this new book that's coming out, Bao's book, Everything and Nothing, I've seen some of the manuscripts, and I don't like to quote out of not knowing it too well, but basically Baba says, there are discarnate spirits that obsess people, but it's very rare. This is the concept of demons. But there is no real form of life like demons or devils.
That's what I was curious about.
Yeah. But in the Bible, you know, you have to take that language. They take it so literally. That Christ cast out demons. Who knows how it's even translated from the Aramaic?
It just seems like
it's just disturbing spirits, you know, that are troubling some people, or even what they'd call psychotic people. It probably thought at that time, I believe they did think that someone who's neurotic or, I mean, having fits and all, epileptic, was obsessed by a demon. That was their way of trying to understand it. Today you would have, you know, different language for it. But Baba does explain it.
It was, you know, coming
back.
Real
demons and demons.
But people really believe it.
Oh yeah, because they've just been taught that. It's just another word for what they can't understand. And it's true that a group of people praying can help a disturbed mind, because you're using all that positive mind energy, and it's got to have some effect on some, especially if they have faith in you. So there is a faith healing, definitely faith healing. Calm your mind down and stuff. So then they get results, and then they believe it.
There's a demon.
Well, they believe they've cast out the demon. And in one sense, they have. If you can help a disturbed person quiet down. Yeah, why not? It's just their language. Certainly Baba would be. Love for Baba can, you know, when Baba people have so-called miraculous escapes or healings or something, Baba says, I didn't do it, it's your faith in me. So there is that faith that can do, actually what you're doing is transforming your own sincerity by the force of your faith. So you are helping. Or you can do that with other people. Not really a miracle, if you just understand what's going on. Matt, mind is really cool. Well, Jade Bob, that was very nice to be with you. Thank you so much for inviting me. Enjoy every minute. I think you have a wonderful atmosphere here at Bala. Transforming Portland.
Can you tell us about this film?
Oh, the film is at the Bala. Well, my film that I brought up is a little bit of film. It was taken by Charmin Deuce in Switzerland. It's just raw, you know, kind of home movies of Baba after the accident. On his way home to India, he stopped for a little vacation with, especially for the women, I think, that had a tough time with all this stuff. And the beauty of Switzerland, you know, he wanted them to be there. The Baba lovers were there, welcoming Baba. So you see Baba in the wheelchair, and that's the best part. And the rest of it is a little bit of footage of, it's very dim, it's from 52. 8 millimeter film that I had boomed up to 60. And some of it is just sort of shots of Switzerland, Lake, I always forget which, Lake Lucerne, I think it is. Little, I'll identify some of the people, some of them you'll recognize as Rano and a little bit of Mira. And mostly the best part is a little bit of Baba. You'll see.
Okay, I'll show you. So,